Breakfilm Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 44th edition of the International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Chris Christensen, the director of the film Hearts Know the Runaway Brides. So thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for asking me.
Such an interesting film. I think it's such an exciting experimentation. But would you like to tell our listeners, maybe who haven't had the pleasure to experience the film yet, who might be interested, a little bit about the film and what it's about?
Well, first of all, the film didn't have a script. Mm. It's based on a concept where I traveled around the world asking people to imagine they see a woman in a wedding dress running through the street like she runs away from her own wedding. And then I ask them, tell me your scenario, what you think happened to her, why she ran away. So if you ask it to somebody in Japan or Mozambique or in Iceland or in Holland, you get completely different answers, because people will generally talk about themselves when they answer this question.
Yeah.
So I have collected in these scenarios in 18 different countries, up to like 30 scenarios in every country. Mm. And then just edited them into 18 shorts connected through a red line, and each of these little chapters gives you an insight in these particular cultures,
right,
through the answers of why does the bride run away.
And why the subject of a runaway bride?
Well, it came originally through a broken heart, I must say. Somebody, a Japanese girlfriend of mine, was supposed to come with me to Morocco, and in the last minute she canceled. So I already bought my ticket, and I met a Dutch girl I didn't know who had ambitions to become an actress. And I said, well, I'm a filmmaker, why don't you put on a wedding dress? We go through Morocco and we ask the Moroccans why they think that you are running away. So the answers were phenomenal. They really gave us an insight in the Moroccan culture, and,
right,
and the Moroccans opened their doors to us in a way that they would never have done before, if I would not have asked that question. So then I went to Iceland. It's about 5 years ago. The project took about 5 years to make. I got stuck because of the famous volcano, the unpronounceable volcano,
right,
the Eyjafjallajökull.
And you can pronounce it pretty well.
I can, because
course,
my father's Icelander.
Yeah.
And the Icelanders, you really have a storytelling tradition. So I asked 50 different Icelanders for their reason why they thought she ran away, and they all came up with completely unique and different answers. So then I thought, like, wow, this is really interesting, and this is a really interesting way to get to know cultures, to get in touch with like the collective consciousness in every country. And I set off on a trip that went on for 5 years, that led me to Japan, Thailand, India, Turkey, Mozambique, Ethiopia, South Africa, well, all around.
Well, first off, you're really well traveled, because you know there's so many fascinating places that you film in here. But also, you telling me this now, it seems like the process of making this film was so organic. It was quite personal, spun out of a really personal story. And at some point, at a point in the film, you actually have your parents there. So there is that personal element that is quite important.
I did put in a very personal story, because I felt that the people on the streets that I asked for their scenarios were very personal themselves, mm-hmm, often without even realizing it themselves. They often didn't even realize they were talking about themselves when they answered this question about why the bride ran away. So it's I felt I had to say something about me and the reason that I never had the urge to marry, which was basically because when I was young, my parents were in a wedding crisis. So
right,
they overcame it, but it basically already put some seed in my head saying, like, well, maybe that's not the thing for me. And as you said, I have traveled my entire life. In that sense, this film is a continuation of what I've always been doing. But this also means it's harder to have a long-lasting relationship.
Yeah.
Having said that,
I can testify.
Right. After having traveled for 3 years, I actually found a girlfriend, my current girlfriend, who I was in elementary school with, in my hometown. So you could say the pot of gold was always in my back garden.
Yeah.
And
That's a, you know, happy ending, you know, to the story. But still, the concept of traveling and filmmaking is something that has fascinated me always, because when you think about it, traveling is actually the travelogues were kind of the the original film genre, when cinema was first created, all these filmmakers were, in fact, explorers that went off with their cameras and shot all these exotic places. Do you maybe find that, like, by doing this yourself, by traveling, you know, you're returning to the roots of cinema? And is there something like it happening in cinema, in art house cinema in general nowadays?
I wouldn't know that. If I think about early cinema, I don't know if people were traveling. Maybe I just don't know enough about that. But I can say that when you travel and you film, stories tend to just unfold themselves naturally. It always really inspires me, just going to different places. Like I said, I've always traveled, and just traveling became a little bit superficial to me. And through this concept, I found a way to travel more in depth. Mm. So that was extremely inspiring.
Yeah, I guess we're very lucky to live in an age where, like, we have equipment that allows us to do that easier than it would have been even 20 years ago or 30 years ago. What did you actually use to film it?
I used a very old mini DV camera, about 10-year-old camera, a little Sony. The film was actually intended to be more like for an art installation. I collected all the wedding dresses. My house is full with 19 wedding dresses. And like you said, it was an extremely organic process. For example, I'd never been to Mozambique. I stayed there for about 6 weeks. When I arrived, I had no idea what I would be filming, because the people on the streets first gave the scenarios, and then we asked the local actors to act out, to visualize these scenarios if possible. So it was really great to come home with something that was completely unexpected, generally about 3 weeks after I started.
Yeah. Here's a little fun question. Was there any particular reaction that the runaway bride had along the way that you were particularly curious for, or is there anything that happened that was particularly unusual?
Well, very unusual scenario was, and this is actually a true story, was in Calcutta. So it was the Hindu bride. And it was a lady who said that an astrologer had predicted that to her parents that her first husband would die. So they married her to a tree. And then much later, because she was still a child, much later they wanted her to marry a real man. And at first she agreed. But then at the moment of the marriage, she felt that she was betraying her tree. So she ran back to the tree. Mm. This was actually made into a famous film.
Wow. That's pretty interesting, right? Yeah, just stories like that. How you dig them up, you know, that's fascinating. That's part of the appeal of the film. So obviously we talked about the shooting process and, you know, where the idea came from. But the post-production, it must have been a heck of a work, right?
It was, because we had, I think, maybe it's just a fraction of the material we have that ended up in the film. I think per country we only had time for about 3 or 4 scenarios that were selected to kind of give an honest impression of each country.
Yeah.
But also because I've selected them to all be different. But in fact, for if I would make it into an anthropological installation, for example, I would choose more countries to give a more balanced image of every balanced image of every country.
Right. Yeah. And can you just to give us a fair idea, how much in terms of hours had you actually shot by the time this finished?
Well, I think on average I shot about 25 or 30 scenarios right. In each country, and in the film about 3 or 4 were presented.
Right.
So it's really, yeah, it's maybe 1/30th of what I actually filmed.
Yeah, the editing actually contributes to it. It's quite fascinating how you manage to fit in, every image so meticulously. It just feels like it makes sense. It fits it like a puzzle, but still, it's so intuitive at the same time. It's perfect. Final question. Obviously, this film took a very long time to make. As a filmmaker, is that the kind of work process that you go for? Like, you need your time to work on something, or is there any other type of approach that you use or that you're planning to use maybe in a future project?
Right. Well, I had no formal training as a filmmaker at all. Mm-hmm. So I just had to learn. This is my second film, and because they were such completely different stories that I could let ask actresses to reenact. It was a great also school for me to experiment with different styles.
Right.
And I really tried hard within these 18 chapters to also get a different feel all the time. And I think people picked up on that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really exciting film, and I really do thank you very much for taking the time off and talking with us.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.